This is Ham College, episode 127, for August 1st, 2025. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to rigs. As the days get longer and the bands heat up, make sure you're ready with a radio that works as hard as you do. So kick back and enjoy the breeze and make those QSOs with ease. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And Dean Martin is appearing courtesy of the N5ZNO studios tonight.
I am.
On the last episode of Ham College, what did we talk about?
Best I can recall, I think we might have talked about station setup. Things like connecting a microphone, power source, computer, digital equipment, maybe an SWR meter, some bonding, and maybe we even touched base a little bit on mobile installations.
I think you're right. We've got some more
fun. Best I can recall.
Yeah. We've got more fun topics like that tonight. Operating controls like frequency tuning, use of filters, squelch functions, AGC, memory channels, noise blankers, microphone gain, receiver incremental tuning, bandwidth selection, and a digital transceiver configuration.
We should have had receive incremental tuning when before field day.
We should have.
That would have been handy.
There's probably people who could benefit from that.
I know at least one person that could have.
These are the more fun questions in the exam pool when you're actually talking about radios and hands-on type stuff, rather than just rules and regulations. To me, they are, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a lot more fun.
So we've got a little radio we're going to show tonight. So you can expect some first-class radio porn here tonight. You got one, too. Okay. What is the effect of excessive microphone gain on SSB transmissions? A, frequency instability.
B, distorted transmitted audio.
C, increased SWR.
Or D, all these choices are correct. The effect of excessive microphone gain on single sideband transmissions. Well, it's not C, I'm sure of that. So that rules out D also. So if it's not one of them, they're certainly not all correct. Frequency instability, I don't think so. The only one that makes any sense there is going to be B, Bravo, distorted transmitted audio. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm going to agree with you. Chat rooms, I'll say in B. Yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense.
It's hard to trick that chat room.
Yeah. Here you go. Wrong
Oops.
Hand.
Not so coordinated. Somewhere over here. Here it is.
Boy, that's a giant mitt there.
I didn't even feel that.
Yeah.
Like a club. Which of the following can be used to enter a transceiver's operating frequency? A, the keypad or VFO knob.
B, the CTCSS or DTMF encoder.
Or C, the automatic frequency control.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Which of the following can be used to enter a transceiver's operating frequency? It's not the automatic frequency control. The AFC, I mean, if you think about it, it's automatic. You don't enter frequency with that. So it can't be D either. So it's either going to be A or B. And I just happen to know that while CT, CSS, and DTMF are both frequencies, they've got nothing to do with your operating frequency. Those are audio signals that are sent out. Seems to me the most correct answer would, or the only correct answer would be A, the keypad or VFO knob. You concur?
I do concur.
Chat room concur? Yeah.
Here you go. What's going on here?
Did you feel it that time?
Yeah, I barely did.
Okay. Let's see. Well, we didn't even see if I was right. Okay.
It had to be right. It's the only one that made any sense on there.
Yep. And I promised we'd be having some extra fun tonight with the radio. It's the IC2730A Black Edition.
I like that display.
Man, I love that display. I have not taken it outdoors to look at it. As a matter of fact, I just took this thing out of the box last night and set it up here. What do you use to enter the transceiver's operating frequency? Well, a VFO knob, that's what these two things are here. This is a dual band radio, and you know, we're aiming this at, since we're talking about the technician exam, at people who are kind of new to amateur radio. You notice there's two different frequencies displayed here. This side's got a VHF frequency on it. This side's got a UHF frequency. Although you could swap that around, pretty sure on this radio we could have a VHF or UHF on both sides at the same time. This is a VFO. So we're sitting here in VFO mode. If I turn the VFO knob, I'm changing the frequency. So,
hey, Professor, what, for the people that don't know, what's a VFO stand for?
Variable Frequency Oscillator.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we do see that turning the VFO knob will change the frequency. What about the keypad? Well, this radio doesn't have a keypad on it, but the microphone does. And most newer mobile or VHF, UHF radios, a lot of HF radios too, will have a keypad. So let's just try entering in a number here. Let's see, 145-000. So, yeah, you can do it with the keypad as well. So that's two different ways.
I guess that proves you were right.
The one other here, you got up and down arrows. Some radios will have buttons on the top. You can change frequency with that, too. And these are all when you're in VFO mode. That means modes where you're directly changing the frequency. How is squelch adjusted so that a weak FM signal can be heard? A, set the squelch threshold so that the receiver output audio is on all the time.
B, turn up the audio level until it overcomes the squelch threshold.
C, turn on the anti-squelch function.
D, enable the squelch enhancement. I don't have a squelch enhancement on mine, but I want to make next one I get, I'm going to see if I can find one with that. So I don't think that's the answer. I don't have an anti-squelch function either that I'm aware of. So I don't think that would be it either. And if you turn up, for B, if you turn up the audio level until it overcomes the squelch threshold, I just don't think it really works like that.
No.
You turn up the audio, it's just going to turn everything up. It's going to make it louder. It's not going to break the squelch. So it's got to be A, set the squelch threshold so the receiver output audio is on all the time. So, because if they're really weak, they might just be what I always call down in the dirt, which is down in the noise level. And if you don't turn the squelch down, good chance the squelch is going to cut out some or all of their conversation or their transmission.
That's what the chat room is saying. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
It is. Set squelch threshold so that the receiver output audio is on all the time. Well, let's just look at that and see if that's correct. There is signal level you see going here. That's because I've just got a rubber duck hooked to the antenna input on this radio. And it's just sitting right over here, not far away from network cabling. So, yeah, I'm seeing a little noise on there. But we don't hear anything because the squelch is on. Let's go to another frequency here. This is the National Weather Service. But we don't hear anything, and you said turn the volume up wide open, huh?
That was one of the options.
Well, that's the volume. I turned it wide open. Nothing happened. So I'm going to turn it back down some.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
You said adjust the squelch.
So that was the one that I'm thinking was the right answer.
All right, so I'm going to turn the squelch counterclockwise. And there it is. So it's a weak signal, you can see. If I turn the squelch up some, it's muted out. It's squelched out.
Squelch is a good thing. If it wasn't for that, it'd be pretty maddening riding around listening to all that noise all the time.
I was looking at the radio, and I didn't see any anti-squelch buttons or menu choices on there or squelch enhancements. Now, I do believe my wife has an anti-squelch circuit.
You better hope she's not watching.
Yeah.
What is a way to enable quick access to a favorite frequency or channel on your transceiver? A, enable the frequency offset.
B, store it in a memory channel.
C, enable the VOX.
Or D, use the scan mode to select the desired frequency. What is a way to enable quick access to a favorite frequency or channel on your transceiver? A, enable the frequency offset. Well, there is such a thing as frequency offset, but that's not what it does.
Yeah, not in that context.
B, store it in a memory channel. That seems to make sense. I know on my car radio, it's got those buttons for memories. I can store frequencies on that and go straight to different radio stations. Seems like maybe I could do that on my radio. Enable the VOX. Now, that's not what VOX is. VOX is something that detects audio presence and presses a push-to-talk for you on the radio automatically. So that wouldn't change frequency for you. Or D, use the scan mode to select the desired frequency. If you're scanning, you're not staying on any particular frequency. You're just going through them, stored in a memory channel.
Good job.
Right now we're in VFO mode. If I press this button here that says MR or call, that's two different functions. Yeah, if I just press it once, little numbers down here. That's to select memory channels with. I don't really have maybe two or three programmed in this radio. But you can see we can just go right through them by turning the VFO in this case. And on most radios, that will scroll you through the various memory channels you've got programmed in rather than just, you know, sequentially changing the frequency. You can also do that with the buttons on the radio as well. I don't know if you can enter in a number. Let's see. Channel 1, enter. Oh, well, that'll take me to channel 1. Let's say if I want to go to channel 3, enter. Took me to channel 3. So, yeah, you can do it that way as well. But that's memories. And it's handy to go through and program up all the repeaters or frequencies that are used in your area. Your most used frequencies stored in the radio, and you don't have to dial through every step in the band to find the frequency you want. What does the scanning function of an FM transceiver do? A, checks incoming signal deviation.
B, prevents interference to nearby repeaters.
C, tunes through a range of frequencies to check for activity.
Or D, checks for messages left on a digital bulletin board. Scanning function on an FM transceiver does not scan for messages, check for messages left on the digital bulletin board. So it's not D. See, tunes to a range of frequencies to check for activity. That's going to probably be it, but let's look at the others. B, prevents interference to nearby repeaters. No. A, checks incoming signal deviation. I'm going with C on this one. Tunes through a range of frequencies to check for activities. Activity.
That's what the chat room is saying. I'll agree with you as well. Okay. Well, since we still got this radio handy, and I do see a button on it that says scan, let's just take a look at that. Works two different ways here. If we are in the memory settings here, which we are, you can see we've got the memory frequency or channel that we're on right there, V/MHZ for megahertz, or scan. So if we hold it down, it'll be the second function listed on the button. Scan all. I guess I hit scan again. I don't know. Yeah, there we go. So now it's scanning through all the frequencies that are programmed in memory. So it's doing a memory scan. It's not stopping on any of them because Squelch is cranked up pretty high. If I back Squelch down where the weather channel will break it, it stops down on channel number 3 there. And it'll pick back up after a few seconds. That'll vary from radio to radio, but basically most of them do that way. It'll stop down on something for a little bit. If you like that channel, you can hit a button on the radio or tap the PTT and the scan will stop right there. So I'm just going to take it out of scan mode. Now, we're still in the memory channels here, but I'm going to hit it one more time to bring us back to VFO. Now we're back in the VFO where we're just manually changing the frequencies rather than using memories. If I hold down the button for scan here, scan all, yeah, let's hit it again. Now it's scanning through every frequency, and it's going to go all the way to the end of the band. And if it detects any activity, right there, that's probably the Ethernet in here in the shack that we just picked up. Whatever that is really strong. But that's all interference that's being generated by all the computers and gear that's in here. Let's just stop that. We'll just tap the button. Now you notice that's way above the 2 meter frequency band there. Radios, and most of them, have broadband receivers on them.
Which of the following controls could be used if the voice pitch of a single sideband signal returning to your CQ call seems too high or low? A, the AGC or limiter.
B, the bandwidth selection.
C, the tone squelch.
Or D, the RIT or clarifier, and RIT is RIT, it's an abbreviation. I think he knows a little bit about one of these answers. Let's see. First, the AGC or limiter. If the voice pitch is off a little bit, a little too high or a little too low, changing the automatic gain control or the limiter is not going to change the pitch of the voice. The bandwidth selection. No, that's only going to narrow or widen the bandwidth that you're hearing, like a graphic equalizer or something would. It's not that. C, the tone squelch. I'm not even sure if you can even use a tone squelch on a single sideband radio. But that's not anyway. That's not the answer. So D, the RIT, which stands for Receive Incremental Tuning, or some brands of radios call it a clarifier. That's going to be the answer because it's changing the receive frequency incrementally. So if you called out on one frequency and somebody came back to you sound like their underwear was too tight, you could turn the RIT a little bit and get them to sound normal. That's going to be my answer is D.
I'll concur with that one.
Yeah. Chat room seems to think so as well. And it is. So you actually know a little bit. You have used this knob before.
I'd use it without even knowing.
Unintentionally.
I actually bumped it at field day, apparently, to turn it back. I hit the button, and I turned the knob by accident. I was off frequency, so, yeah.
You were calling CQ on one frequency, and anybody who was answering you was way off from where your radio said you were.
I know. They were all so far off.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody's radio was messed up. Kind of was really freak occurrence.
It must be a common denominator somewhere in there, but
yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's half the questions for tonight.
That's half the battle.
Do you feel like we maybe should take a break at this point and come back, and we can give away your shirt live here?
The shirt off my back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take it off now.
Well, here, let me do this. Everybody might not want to see that.
Fun, Sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to rigs. As the days get longer and the bands heat up, make sure you're ready with a radio that works as hard as you do. So kick back and enjoy the breeze and make those QSOs with ease. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for Sirius Signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio, the IC7760 HF digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1 kilowatt HF 50 megahertz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output power, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote controller serves as an extra control head, and up to 5 can be registered to the RF deck, though only 1 can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single, unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. The IC7300 combines intuitive touchscreen control, real-time spectrum display, and superior signal purity into one compact rig. Built for satellite, EME, and weak signal enthusiasts, the IC9700 combines all-mode operation on VHF, UHF, and 1.2 GHz. The IC705 go-to rig for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. A large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 MHz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham College.
Sir, appreciate them.
Well, Tommy, are you about ready to disrobe over here? And
I think we might ought to send him a new one.
Okay. So, well, let's show him what it is.
This one's been well worn, although it's held up really good. It's a good, thick, high quality shirt. But maybe we should give somebody a fresh one.
Okay. Well, you want to display what you're wearing there?
Yep. Nice ICOM Ham Crew T-shirt. It's just ICOM Ham Crew on the front. I don't know if you can see it, but it says the same thing on the back.
Oh, yeah, microphone not included. Thanks for pointing that out, John. If you'd like to win that, well, there's a very easy way to get your name in the hat for the drawing.
Send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You don't have to have a license. You don't. All you need is a name and an email address. And go ahead and send it in now since we've made the drawing, and get your name in for next month. Who did win?
Well, we had a drawing before the show tonight, and the lucky winner sent us an actual message in the email here.
Cool.
We don't always get that, but
that's like a lot of people. Is that extra points?
No, you still get a T-shirt and whatever else Jesse can stuff in the box.
Did you get brownie points?
Brownie points, yes. Those are not redeemable, but nice to have. Yeah. He said, even though I'm an extra, I still love watching all your Ham College shows. Thanks, Laris, KC9CBX. Well, thank you, Laris, for entering and for watching Ham College. Once again, if you'd like to win one, just send us an email, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You can drop a nice little note in there like Laris did, or you can say nothing at all. Just send us an email and you're registered.
Empty body of the email with nothing but a name. That's all you need. That's all you need to do.
There you go.
But it's nice to get the messages.
It is. What does a DMR code plug contain? A, your call sign in CW for automatic identification.
B, access information for repeaters and talk groups.
C, the codec for digitizing audio.
D, the DMR software version. What does your DMR code plug contain? I never understood why they call it code plug. Your call sign in CW for automatic identification. No. It's not the DMR software version either. And it's not the codec. Although code plug, you could maybe kind of think something like that just from the name of it. But it's just basically the repeater list, your channels and stuff for DMR operation exit. So I'm going with B. Access information for repeaters and talk groups.
I'll agree with you. Chat room. Yeah. Francis says he's not even sure what DMR is.
I don't use it very often. I've got one radio of it.
Me too.
No, never. Just not a big fan of it. It seems kind of a hassle to me.
Yeah.
But
there's some areas
there.
Yeah, some areas it's used.
What is the advantage of having multiple receive bandwidth choices on a multi-mode transceiver? A, permits monitoring several modes at once by selecting a separate filter for each mode.
B, permits noise or interference reduction by selecting a bandwidth matching the mode.
C, increases the number of frequencies that can be stored in memory.
Or D, increases the amount of offset between receive and transmit frequencies. What is the advantage of having multiple receive bandwidth choices on a multi-mode transceiver? Start at the bottom. D, increases the amount of offset between receive and transmit frequencies. No. C, increases the number of frequencies that can be stored in memory. No, not at all. A, permits monitoring several modes at once by selecting a separate frequency for each mode. No, really, you can only monitor one mode at a time on one receiver. B, permits noise or interference reduction by selecting a bandwidth matching the mode. Yeah, I'm going to say it's B. You can actually narrow it down narrower than the mode. What you're doing, you're narrowing the receive signal down. So if there's noise that's a little higher frequency or a little lower frequency or interference, you're just not hearing those. You're just narrowing it down to what you need to hear for the particular yeah. signal you're trying to receive.
And it comes in very handy, especially on HF.
People are saying in the chat room. Another question. How is a specific group of stations selected on a digital voice transceiver? A, by retrieving the frequencies from transceiver memory.
B, by enabling the group's CTCSS tone.
C, by entering the group's identification code.
Or D, by activating automatic identification. How is a specific group of stations selected on a digital voice transceiver? So, by retrieving the frequencies from the transceiver memory, that doesn't even make any sense to me. By enabling the group's CTCSS tone for digital voice transceiver. No. Automatic ID is not going to do anything for that. It's got to be C. In the group's identification code, like your talk group number. I believe that's what we're kind of referring to.
Okay.
So I'm going with C. And I hope I'm right. It's got to be right because it can't be A, B, or D, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. It's C. And it is. We don't even use CTCSS tones on digital voice transceivers that I'm familiar with.
Not that I know of.
You wouldn't even be a purpose to having it because you've got another way of narrowing down what you're going to hear.
What does CTCSS stand for, Professor?
Continuous Tone Control Squelch System, or something like that.
That sounds good. Okay. I'll buy that.
See, I left myself an out in there, but that's basically what it is. It might not be.
Somebody on the chat room will look it up here in just a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Confirm. Which of the following receiver filter bandwidths provides the best signal-to-noise ratio for single sideband or SSB reception? A, 500 hertz.
B, 1,000 hertz.
C, 2,400 hertz.
Or D, 5,000 hertz. Which of the following receiver frequency bandwidths provides the best signal-to-noise ratio for single sideband reception? Okay, A, 500 hertz. That would not be much bandwidth to be listening to a voice signal with. You could probably do CW with something that narrow, but not voice. You could probably understand what they were saying, but it just wouldn't be very good. B, 1,000 hertz. That would be kind of narrow sounding, too. You might make out what they were saying, but it wouldn't be the best signal-to-noise ratio. D, 5,000 hertz. That's a little bit broader. The transmitter you're listening to is probably not putting out 5,000 hertz wide audio. It's going to be narrower than that. So you'd be hearing extra noise on the sides there that you don't need to hear. So it wouldn't be the best signal-to-noise ratio. C, 2,400 hertz. The choices provided there, that's going to be the best choice, I would say.
I do concur. But I was trying to figure out how to explain why that would be the choice. This goes back to the same as the code plug thing. If you just know, you just know.
Yeah.
Something you kind of got to just learn.
Yeah. If you played around with it a little bit, you would see pretty quick if you had your hands on a sideband radio.
Yeah, but this is technician, so most people probably haven't.
Right. Yeah. Although you can, there are
single sideband radios. They're just not as popular for people that would have technician privileges.
You can do that with SDR radio as well, just for receiving and listening.
You can. 2400 hertz. And, 2400 hertz, you could understand what the person was saying good. And you wouldn't have stuff out on the edges. So it would be better signal-to-noise ratio. Personally, if there's no interference on either side, I generally run my receiver at 3,000 hertz.
Yeah, same.
3 kilohertz. That sounds a little better. You got a little more crispness. Words are easier to understand. A little better, as Bob would say, Bob Heil, articulation.
Yeah.
But
like on field day when it's really crowded.
Oh yeah, you might get down.
2400 hertz, clean it up a lot.
Yeah, sometimes you might get down to 1,000 hertz on field day. I mean, everybody's almost on top of each other. So yeah, mm-hmm. You're trying to eliminate whatever's on the sides that you don't need to hear just to get that signal you want. But yeah, I think 2400. Well, I know there's the answer. But that's not where I start myself. I will go down to 2400 hertz if that's what it takes to get the interference signals out of the way.
But that's the answer that they're looking for.
That's the answer. So. Mm-hmm. Email says, break out the ICOM twin passband tuning. Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
That does a trick. Really is effective. Which of the following must be programmed into a D-Star digital transceiver before transmitting? A, your call sign.
B, your output power.
C, the codec type being used.
D, all these choices are correct. And this one's mine, right? So all these choices are not correct, so it's not D. You don't have to program the codec being used either, so it's not C. I mean, there's one codec and that's it. So your output power, I mean, you have to pick one. That's just by default, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't have
your
to be
call
programmed.
Sign, however, does matter. It has to be in there because D-Star transmits your call sign every time you key the radio up. And like technically you don't really have, if you're on pure D-Star system, you don't actually have to really even say your call sign because it's considered legal transmission. But it's a good idea to do that on D-Star because people link so many different systems together that doesn't go through now. So, but anyway, the answer is A.
Hey, I'll agree with you. Chat room saying A. And yeah, the clarify what you said, so many different systems now. If it's D-Star radios or repeaters linked together, your ID is going to persist through all of them. It'll be displayed on the radio or maybe read out by the radio orally. But with different modes being linked in these days through hubs and different things, like you're talking on a D-Star radio, but there might be somebody else somewhere listening to you on a LinkedIn DMR or a Fusion or analog repeater. So, yeah, it is a good idea to go ahead and...
Yeah. It's going to seem like you never ID'd if you don't.
Yeah. One final question for tonight.
Oh, man, so soon.
Yep.
What is the result... Excuse me. What is the result of tuning an FM receiver above or below a signal's frequency? A, change in audio pitch.
B, sideband inversion.
C, generation of a heterodyne tone.
Or D, distortion of the signal's audio. What is the result of tuning an FM receiver above and below a signal's frequency?
You know, my car's got an FM radio in it.
Yeah?
FM's FM.
Yeah?
So if I'm tuning the radio manually, which I don't even know you can do, not like with a knob anymore, but I've never heard the pitch change on an FM signal. B, sideband inversion. What does that mean? I'm not sure. I guess using lower sideband instead of upper, but FM doesn't work that way. C, generation of a heterodyne tone. No. If you're off a little bit on frequency, you don't hear a tone come in there. D, distortion of the signal's audio. That's going to be the answer right there. If you
catch the ticket.
Yep. Yeah. D. So what's the chat room saying? Yep. Distortion in the signal's audio. You know, I just happen to have a radio sitting right beside me here.
Man, that is really convenient, too.
I got to say, you know, I haven't tried this before, but it is handy to have. Let's see, we're on the VFO here. What was that frequency for the weather there? Was that
162.4?
4000?
Yep.
Did I put too many zeros in there?
Only two zeros.
Okay. So we're on the VFO here, and I've got the squelch opened up enough we can hear it. There's a little noise because it's just a little rubber duck antenna here. I'm going to tune a little off frequency. Kind of distorted.
Hold on, you're distorting the audio.
So there you go. That's what would happen if you tuned a little off frequency, because we did. What else do we need to cover before we get out of here tonight?
I think that's mostly it. Any of you guys are out around the Huntsville area in a couple weeks, swing by the Huntsville Ham Fest. Be sure to look us up and say hi.
Hamfest.org. They got the perfect URL for Hamfest.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep.
They still got the little thing if you drag the mouse across the picture? Yep.
Yep. I looked it up one time to see what plugin that was they were doing that with. I've forgotten what it is now.
Yeah, some JavaScript.
Yep. At the Von Braun Center, South Hall, Huntsville, Alabama, August 16th and 17th. Be there or miss it.
I don't see where it says World's Friendliest Ham Fest anymore.
Shirley.
What'd you call me Shirley for?
I don't know. The World's Friendliest Ham Fest. Right there,
oh, really?
Shirley.
It's right there in the middle of the water.
Yep.
The Ripples had it covered up.
Since when does it say? 19...
54?
54? Wow.
That's a long ham fest.
That is. That's a lot of friendly there.
Yeah. It is a really good one. If you don't go to Dayton, that's next best thing. It's not even anywhere near as close to the size of Dayton, but it's a really big, nice ham fest.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
And there's stuff there
forward to it.
That you won't find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because of NASA.
Yeah.
A lot of very unusual test equipment and stuff, and lots of it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Last year I didn't get to go because I had COVID.
Wow.
I think that was last year, wasn't it?
One year.
Yeah, that was last year.
I think there was a year or two none of us got to go because of COVID.
Yeah, well, I had it. Like, yeah. I just got a test. Due to the Huntsville Ham Fest, I think the Amateur Logic, for you guys that watch Amateur Logic as well, maybe a week behind the normal time.
August the 22nd.
Yeah. Normally it would be the 15th, I think.
Yep. But we'll be in Huntsville.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, 7-3, everybody. Good night.
Yep. 7-3. Thanks for being here. What is the effect of excessive headphone gain? No, that's not right. Quite the opposite.